Hi, Paul, this is Betty here. We're holding on Mem Vav Amud Aleph, about a third of the way down the Amud line against Nasai.
When did you leave it?
We left off starting from Ishmael on that, down that line, about a third of the way down the Amud. Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing like this. So we said in the Mishnah, we had two opinions on the question of things that are naturally occurring things that are worshipped at by Goyim or as Avodah Zarah. Do they become also Banah as Avodah Zarah usually would? We said that the Tanakhama and the Mishnah had mentioned that mountains and hills, for example, do not. Rav Yossi had really added, based on a pasuk that mentions that he brought a pasuk that expresses that idea. That their gods, their geshkas, are on the mountains and on the hills, but the mountains and hills themselves do not become author as Avodah Zarah. And we discussed also what Rashi versus Tosfos learn about it, that Rashi learns it's not considered Avodah Zarah at all for almost any purpose except for the fact that whoever worships it is Chayiv Nisa, and Tosfos arguing that no, it is actually considered Avodah Zarah. I was wrong yesterday. I said according to Tosfos it would be also Vahanah, you just don't have to destroy it. No, Tosfos agrees it's not also Vahanah. The question would be, again, for example, the question would be, if somebody, let's say, shechts an animal in honor of the mountain, would that make that animal also Vahanah as a carbon to Avodah Zarah? According to Rashi, no. According to Tosfos, yes. But either way, if you... it's a machlokes, but so I don't know what the halacha is as far as that, but the main point is that either way, it's not also Bahana or the mountain. So that got us into the whole discussion about what about trees that were planted. So we said the Tanakhama is saying that any kind of tree, as long as it wasn't planted specifically for Avodah Zarah, does not become also Bahana, even they worshipped it. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Agrili and Rabbi Yehuda would say that yes, if it was planted by human agency, even not for Avodah Zarah, later on when they worship it, it's going to become offered. At least the parts that started growing after it started being worshipped are going to be offered. So, Ishmael. So now we have a discussion in this connection. Avnei Harish Nidalzadu. What if you have stones of a mountain that came loose? So they came loose from the mountain, and a goy went and worshipped those loose stones. So they weren't loosened. No human being went and loosened them. They came loose naturally. Some of the Rishonim learn it means that they came loose, but they're still in their original spot. Other Mephoshim learn that it means they may have even completely come off. They may have completely fallen down. Some of the Rishonim, the Ritva, for example, go so far as to say it might even be they came loose naturally through natural processes, and then human beings picked them up and moved them elsewhere. Maybe that's not even enough to ask for them. So Bnei Reb Chiya for Reb Yechanan. So the sons of Reb Chiya, their names are Yehuda and Chizkiah, versus Rabbi Yechanan, they argued what's the din as far as these stones. If people worship them, do they become also Bahana as Avodah Zarah or not? Chad Amar Asuris v'chad Amar Mutaris. One, we don't know yet which one, between the sons of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yechanan. One said they're also, one said they're Mutar. My time of demand Amar Mutaris, what's the reasoning of the opinion that says they're Mutar? Because he argues, Kahar, they argue these rocks are just like the mountain itself.
No, but they're detached.
Hold on. Ma har she'en b'chpitzeti de'odim u'motor. Just like the mountain, there was no human agency involved in creating the mountain. It was created by Hashem.
Yeah.
And one second. And it's motor b'hanna. Ahani, the same thing, these stones, they came loose on their own. She'en b'hen t'pitzeti de'odim. There was no human agency involved in them becoming loose. They came loose.
Any stone that's loose, you would say, it's from a mountain?
No, like this, where it was part of a mountain, and now it came loose on its own. No, but it came loose on its own. Again, according to the Mephoshim that say it came loose, but it's still on the mountain, then it's very straightforward to understand. According to the opinions that say that it fell off the mountain, still the same thing, though.
It rolls.
Same thing. According to that second opinion, is even if it rolled, and according to the third opinion, which is the Ritva, another Rishonim is even if a human being, after it came loose from the mountain, if he picked up and moved it, but nevertheless, the original loosening of it, came by a natural process. So he would argue, so one of these two opinions, the Bnei Reb Chiya versus Rabbi Yechanan, would argue, therefore, that they're mutter. There's no tefis yisidei adam. Afani shein ben tefis yisidei adam, and we're talking the same thing, these rocks, there's no tefis yisidei adam, so you can argue they're mutter. Unless somebody does a maise rav, a major maise involving these rocks, for example, they carve them, for example, that's different. We're talking about where they're still in their natural state. So the question is, though, you're going to say that you're going to argue that, but you can argue, Malahar, Shekein Mechubar. How can you prove anything from a mountain? The mountain is attached to the ground. These rocks are not attached to the ground. So what's the comparison? The answer is Behemoth Tashkiah. The answer is, in that case, then fine. You can prove it instead from the case of an animal. Now, by the same logic, if a guy bows down to an animal, then, again, it doesn't become also, we'll discuss later, it becomes also as a carbon. We're going to get into that soon. But lahediyot, it does not become also b'hana for regular use. You're allowed later on to shech this animal and eat it. A guy goes and bows to a live animal.
Yeah.
That animal does not become also b'hana. By the same logic, there's no tshvisisi de other. Now, an animal doesn't stay in one place. It moves around from one place to another. So therefore, just because something is movable doesn't mean that whether it's also a mutter b'hana doesn't make a difference whether it's movable or not. These rocks are moved from the mountain. So what? An animal also moves. On the other hand, you can argue mala behemish ken balas chayim. Fine, but you could argue back on that. Yes, but an animal is a living creature, so therefore maybe therefore a living creature is different. You would say the normal rules don't apply to it.
When does an animal become?
So it becomes also as a so Rashi makes a point like this. If we said that it was also lahediyot, then you wouldn't like this. You have a pasuk specifically telling us. We have a limud from a pasuk that tells us that an animal that was worshipped as avodah zarah is possible for a carbon. Now we have a general we have a general rule that only things that are kosher for human beings to eat, that are kosher for us Jewish people to eat, are things that are kosher for a carbon. If an animal that was nevad was also for us to eat, automatically it would be possible for a carbon. You wouldn't need a pasuk to teach us that a nevad is also for a carbon. The fact that we have such a pasuk, the fact that it says mina behemah, mina bakar, mina tzoin, and we learn from that that mina bakar means not all bakar, so therefore excluding ones that are nevad, implies that mutar b'hanah to a hedi. So the argument again is, therefore, min ha-bokar, min ha-tzoin. You have the pasuk that says that you can bring carbonus. Min ha-bokar, from the cattle, the min is a meal, not all cattle, not the ones that were nevad, in other words. But the fact that we need such a meal implies that other cattle, implies that it would be mutter, that even if it was nevad, it would be mutter lahediyot. So that's the argument that we're saying over here. You want to argue that you can't prove anything from a mountain which is still in its original position to these rocks which are not in their original position, which are now detached, but an animal is also detached from the ground, and you see it doesn't become also lahediyot just because it was worshipped.
Except the ones who have been...
That have been nevad, right.
All the others are mutter.
All the others are mutter for a carbon, but meaning it was all of them, even the nevad is mutter lahediyot. We're not focusing over here on Korbanos. Korbanos is mutter for a hedyot. A hedyot is allowed to shech them. A hedyot is allowed to work with them. A hedyot is allowed to have whatever I know. You want.
Rashi doesn't say it's mutter for a hedyot.
But that's the implication. If it was also a hedyot, you wouldn't need a limud that it's also for a carbon. Anything that's trace is also for a carbon automatically. So the very fact that it has to say that it's also for a carbon implies that it's not trace. So that's our argument over here. When it comes to these rocks that are detached from the mountain, same thing. They could be like an animal. So you could argue mala behemish ken balas chayim. You could argue though an animal is different because it's a living creature, so maybe that has a special status. You'll go back to Hausachiach. Okay, but we prove it from a mountain, which is not a living thing, and you see it's still not also b'hana. So v'chaz radin, so it goes back and forth, as we often do with such things. Lo v'izek yirizeh, v'lo v'izek yirizeh. Each one has a feature that the other one does not have. A mountain is in its original place, but it's not alive. An animal is not in its original place, but it's alive. And we see neither one of them is also b'hana, from people worshipping it. Atzada shavah shavah. What do a mountain and an animal have in common? There's no human involvement in the mountain's creation or in the animal's creation, or mutter, and therefore the thing remains mutter. Ask by that logic, kol shein ben tfisis yidei adam or mutter. So by that logic, anything else where there's no tfisis yidei adam should be mutter. So therefore these rocks over here, which were detached, which were loosened or detached, as the case may be, from the mountain but by natural processes, should not be also b'hana. That's the argument why they're not going to be also b'hana, even if afterwards a goy went and worshipped them.
What is it called? It's not a kavachomer.
It's not a kavachomer. It's a mamatin. It's a mamatin, yeah. Okay. The question is, though, mala atzada shavah shebehen shekeim l'nishtanu b'v'yosan. Fine, but you can argue there's another thing that the mountain and the animal have in common. They didn't change from their original status. The mountain is still in the same natural state that it was when Hashem created it. The animal is still in the same natural state. I mean, it grew, but that's the growth is not considered that kind of change. You could argue maybe only then, when you have something naturally occurring that never changed in form, then you could say it's not also b'hana. These rocks changed in form, changed because before they were attached, and now they're detached. So maybe that's not a good mamatenu. And I love, no. Rather, what we can do is, never mind learning it from an animal which could conceivably have been used as a carp.
Because of that, because...
So that doesn't work. So therefore, that breaks down our mama thinner. However...
It's pretty thin. I mean...
Yeah.
Just the fact that they're different in shape.
But that's the point. And they're not just in shape, per se, but it's not in its original natural state. Yeah. Ela astium behemoth balas mumer.
If you say a tree, a leaf falls, it's not the same as it was before.
So the leaf falling, maybe, but we're not talking about leaves that are falling.
We haven't talked about that.
We haven't done in JS.
Or
We did talk before briefly about you have the case. We'll talk about it more later on in the paragraph. You have a case, for example, that an asherah, in the cases where an asherah is also and you have leaves fall off it, would you be allowed to plant vegetables under there, for example, where the leaves are going to serve as fertilizer? We mentioned it briefly in the Gemara the other day.
We did.
Right.
We said
that there was actually a machlokes over there, whether it's allowed. It's a question basically of zeh garden. When you have the vegetables that are growing over there, there's two factors contributing to them, the leaves that are also and the ground itself and the sunlight and whatever that I'm looking for. It's a machlokas, and in many places
so
in Chaff.
Say the same here?
Because here, how is it relevant over here? You're talking about these rocks. There's no zevazeg godim. There's no one thing that's also and one thing that's mutter contributing to the existence of these rocks. These rocks exist from Sheshes Medrashis, but now they became detached partially or completely from the mountain. The question is, maybe only things that are in their original natural state, such as the mountain or such as an animal, are not also vaha for people worshipping them, but a rock that was detached would be different. Ela astim behemah balas mumer. Well, the answer is no. They still, this opinion, will have a way of learning it. He will learn it from a behemah balas mumer, mayhav. He will learn it by a combination of an animal that has a mum that cannot be brought as a carbon and a cloth of mountain. In other words, even an animal that's a bal mum. Now, there you don't need any special limud to say it's also as a carbon, obviously, because the bal mum is anyway not usable as a carbon. And and it was changed from its original state, because it was born without a mum and later on it developed one. And still, we say that it's not also ba'na. Nobody changed them. They naturally became detached. And yet, we say that an animal that's a bal mum does not become also ba'na if people worship it. And the same thing, a mountain does not become. So therefore, now we have a combination. Now we have a usable combination to say, you want to argue because it's something that's mechuber. Well, an animal that's a bal mum is not mechuber, and it's not also. You want to argue, but the behemoth balas mum is alive, whereas a mountain is not. I'll tell you, but you see that the mountain is also not. But you see that a mountain is also not, and neither are the rocks. Right, that's the point. Neither are the rocks. And you're going to argue that the mountain and the animal are not nishtanim abriyotim. The animal is nishtanim abriyotim because it was born as a tom and now it's a balmum. And yet you say it's not also. So therefore, that's a valid reason to say that the rock shouldn't be also either.
Except that one is alive and one is not.
That's why we have the mountain also. That's why we have to bring in the mountain also. The mountain is not alive, and you see the mountain is still not also bahana. So that's the point. That combination. That can work. Or another way of doing it, we can use an animal that's a tam, where it didn't change, but a tree that dried out. So the tree dried out. It's definitely different than the way it was before, because it used to be fresh, it used to be alive, and now it's dead. And yet you have, at least according to the Rabbanon, who say that trees b'chlal don't become osur unless they were originally planted for Avodah Zarah. Then even though the tree has dried out and is dead, you still say it's not also banu. You say it's mutter, even if people worship it. And Rashi adds, even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, you could have, for example, if a tree started growing by itself. Same thing. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would say only if it was planted. We discussed yesterday. According to Rashi, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would say if he planted a seed, then it would be l'shem avodazar. Not l'shem avodazar. If he planted a seed, and later on, he started worshipping the tree that grew from it, as a Vadazara, then Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would say it's also. According to Tosfos, you don't even need that. So there's a seed, everybody would agree it's Mutter, says Tosfos. Whatever it is, the point is, even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, you have a case, you have a scenario of a tree that started growing naturally. There was no Tosfos Yidei Adam, and he'll agree that it remains Mutter Bana, same as a mountain, same as a hill. Therefore, again, if we put together and even if the tree dries out, if the tree naturally grew and eventually it dried out, it would still, and people started worshipping it, it would still be mutter according to him, even though it's nishtanim b'yosin, even though it's changed from its original form. So there you go. Again, by combining that together with an animal that's a tam, you have the same kind of argument that what do they have in common? That there's not that they weren't nishtanim b'yosin, because they're not. Not that they're attached to the ground, because the animal is not. Not that they're not that it's mechubur, because not, again, not that it's mechubur attached to the ground, because not. Not that it's not mishtanim b'briyosin, because the tree is. What's the sad? What's the only sad hashava that there's no tzitzis de'adam? And we see it's mutter. So therefore, the same thing should apply to these rocks. That's the opinion that says it's mutter. Okay, fine. Now umanda oster. So what about fine? What is the opinion that says it's oster, the rocks? What is he going to answer to all that argument? The answer is he would say, fine, I agree, you have a very logical argument, but exactly to forestall that kind of argument, that is why the Pasuk specifically mentions the Pasuk. That is why the Torah specifically gives us the Pasuk. We had it earlier on the Amud. Shakes to Shaksenu, you should consider Avodah Zarah utterly disgusting. Messiah to Savenu, and you should consider it utterly utterly repugnant, utterly off-limits. Meaning, even though you would have an argument, you have a very good logical mamasidu to say that it should be mutter, nevertheless, the Torah is telling you, don't do that. Whenever you have a possible drasha in connection with Avodah Zarah, do not try to use it to be matter, only use it to be meshaket and to be messiah, to make it to off-limits and disgusting and abhorrent. But if the Torah is not just something with Feirush, like the mountains and the hills, where it explicitly says, Elekeim ala horim, from which we learn Veloya horim Elekeim, then fine. But to come up with drushas of our own, even though it's a very logical drusha, no, that's why the Torah, that opinion would say the Torah is forestalling that by saying Shaka Sustain.
So anything else than a Pasuk would make it awesome,
basically. Yeah. Unless we have something explicitly in the Pasuk for the contrary. Okay. Okay, right, the word drusha from Pasuk, right.
Russia, we say no.
No, we didn't. No, because we said, for example, Alahorim Alekeim is a Russia. For example, it's a different kind of Russia. Whatever. Okay. Fine. Which one said which? We had Bnei Rebchiya and Rabbi Yochanan had this argument. One says the rocks are also, one says it's mutter. Which one said which? It's important to know, especially because we have a general rule. Up until the time of Abaye and Rava, usually the halacha is like the Rebbe against the Talmud. Of these sons of Reb Chiya, one of them was named Chizkiya, and he was one of the Rebbeim of Reb Yechanan. If we can establish which opinion is held by the sons of Reb Chiya, then we'll have to know that will be the halacha. So it's important to figure out. Because the halacha will be like the Rebbe against the Talmud, like Chizkiya against Reb Yechanan. So which one said which? So, Tistayim Dibnei Reb Chiya Deshor, we should be able to conclude that the sons of Reb Chiya, the Yehuda and Chizkiya, are the ones who said that it is mutter. And how do we know that? The boy Chizkiya, because we find that Chizkiya himself, one time asked a question in Halacha, Zokas Beisali Shachvet Lomahu. Suppose a person set up, took an egg, and set it up, put it on end in order to worship it. So you have like this, an egg is lying over there in the carton. He takes it out of the carton, puts it down on the table, standing straight up, intending to use it as an object of worship. What's the din? Is that considered now the specificity day of it?
It has to be a mice, we say.
That's the question, basically. So, now, for purposes of the question, for purposes of the discussion, we assume when he says lihishtachvisla, he doesn't mean just that he intended to worship it but didn't yet, because then, like we said before, ein hekdesh la'avodah, it wouldn't become also yet. It has to presumably mean lihishtachvisla vihishtachvisla, that he actually ended up bowing down to it. Therefore, become a bialei. So therefore, now the question evidently that Chizkiya has is, evidently the question is putting up the egg on end, is that considered a maite or is it not considered a maite? Well, the kavasa, putting it on end, putting it straight up. Ava loy zaka. That's the question. If it's a maaser, then it would be also ava loy zaka loy mitzra. But apparently, if he didn't actually set it up, if he just left it lying over there and then bowed down to it, presumably Chizkiya has no question that it wouldn't become maaser. Which, therefore, an egg lying there is the same thing as a rock lying there that was detached, that was partially or completely detached from the mountain. Evidently, then, Bnei Reb Chiya are the ones who hold, in the case of the rocks, that they would be mutter. They would hold it because the implication, if Chizkiya is asking only about the case where he set up the egg implying, but if he just left the egg right where it was and bowed down to it, it would be the equivalent of bowing down to a mountain or an animal or whatnot, and it wouldn't become also because there was no mice involved. Well, therefore, so evidently, it's similar enough. I mean, okay, you have some of the Mepharshim point out nuances over here. Maybe we're talking about over here the egg is in the original place where the hen laid it, so he never moved it at all. Maybe even we're talking about he did move it. Fine, but again, like the Ritva said before, with the rocks, they were naturally detached from the mountain, and then a person moved them, still was not considered enough of a Maisa, by the same logic over here. A hen laid the egg, and then a person moved it.
Again,
that's one way of looking at it is we're talking about where that the hen, that it's still there, where the hen laid it, and he bows down to it without moving it at all. The other way of looking at it is even moving it maybe is not considered very much of a Maisa. Setting it up on and like making it into an object of worship, but just moving it from point A to point B is the equivalent of taking these rocks that came naturally loose from the mountain and moving them to point B and then worshiping them, where again, according to the Ritva's point, that wouldn't be enough. According to this opinion that they're mutter, it's not enough for it to be considered Tfisas Yidei Adam. So by the same logic with the egg. So evidently then, Bnei Rabchiya are the ones who, because that includes Chizkiya, are the ones who are saying that in the case of the rocks, it would be mutter. Rabbi Yochanan would have to be the one who's arguing that nevertheless, the Pasuk is telling us Shakas, Tachsenu, etc., and therefore you have to answer it. Okay. The Gemara says, no, lo, don't understand it that way. La'olam emalach b'nei Rabchiya d'astri. You could argue that the sons of Rabchiya, Yehuda and Chizkiya, are the ones actually who argue in the case of the rocks that they're also. We could argue, in other words, we thought that they're masterist because we thought that Chizkiya is only asking about the case where he set up the egg on end, implying otherwise it's not going to become also from balance. But now we're going to say not necessarily. You could argue Chizkiya holds the Hishtachvala Afagabdal Zokhbasura. Maybe Chizkiya would say if you bowed down to it even without first setting it up on end, that would be enough to answer it. And therefore the same way when it comes to the rocks, he would say even bowing down to the rocks without moving them or whatever, or without doing anything to them other than what was done naturally, would be enough to answer them. So why is he asking about the case specifically of setting up an egg? You're assuming, as we did two lines ago, that the case is that he set up the egg intending to worship it and actually worshiped it. He actually bowed down to it. But Chizkiya never said that. He only said, so we can understand the crux of his question being a whole different thing. And what is the scenario that Chizkiya may be asking about is something completely different. He could be asking the case, you set up the egg intending to worship it, intending to bow down to it, and you know, the question is whether it becomes altar. So that has nothing to do with the case of actually bowing down to the egg, and it has nothing to do with the case of actually bowing down to the rock. So not necessarily. Well, so the question is, did he bow to it or did he not? The case we had before about the rocks, Avne Haushini Dalgalu, is where a goy went and actually bowed down to those rocks.
Yeah.
Chizkiya's question about the egg is not necessarily anything about whether anybody actually bowed down to it. It's if he set it up intending to bow down to it. Right. So the question is, Ulaman. Fine. According to which Tana, according to which Manda Omar, is Chizkiya asking this question? If you're going to understand the question that way, now we're going to have, in the next parak, we're going to have a machloikas, when a yid makes something or sets up something as a badazara, at what point does it become also? Does it become also as soon as he sets it up for the purpose, or makes it, or whatever, or as soon as, or only when he actually worships it? So new, which one is Chizkiya? If he didn't finish. Let's say he did finish. Does it become also at that point? Does it become also Bahana at that point when he's finished, let's say? Or maybe not even when he's finished, only when he actually bows down to it or otherwise worships it with one of the four avodas or whatever avodas is supposed to be for that type or whatever. So you have to ask this question. If you're going to explain Chizkiya's question as being about if he set up the egg intending to bow down to it and he didn't yet, well, what are you asking? Just figure out which time you're going according to. Ulaman, so according to which Tana is Chizkiya asking the question? If you're going according to the opinion, which says that as soon as the Yisrael sets up the Avodah Zarah, then it immediately becomes Asur, even before he worships it, well then of course Asura Miyad, we're going to learn in the next parak again that we have a machlokes over there between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. If a yid sets up something, a yid makes a statue, let's say, he didn't yet worship it, does it become also b'hana at that point? Chizkiya is asking the question over here. If he set up an egg intending to bow down to it, and he didn't actually bow down to it yet, does it become also or not? So if you're gonna go, if the question is who is Chizkiyah holding like? If he holds like a Bishmol, that an Avodah Zarah of a Yid becomes also as soon as it's made, well then of course Asura, then of course in our case it's also, what's the question? And if he's going to go like that's Rabbi Shmuel holds like that. And if he's going to hold like Rabbi Akiva, who says that it only becomes also when it's actually worshipped, well, then of course, Halei Polcha, he didn't worship it yet, he didn't bow down to it yet. So why is Chizkiya even asking? Why is Chizkiya asking the question? He knows it's a machloek of Tanoim on that very point. Why is he bothering asking? So in other words, obviously it must be that our original understanding of this question is correct. The question is, he actually did bow down to it. So now the question becomes, is setting up the egg considered a maaser or not? And therefore, we're back to, we would say that the setting it up is a question, is it a maaser or not? Not setting it up, not putting it on end is definitely not a maaser, therefore it's mutter. And back to the matter of the rocks, therefore, because you would be the one who's saying it's mutter. So we're back to that original, we're back to that assumption. Because if you're going to understand that Chizkiyah is just asking about the question, if he didn't bow down to it, is it also or not, that's already the subject of Machloek Tanoim. Chizkiyah doesn't have to react to that question.
Right, so it can only be a question that he's asking is before he bows down.
It's after he bows down to it. But then the question would be, when he set it up. When he set it up versus before he set it up.
How do we know that the whole thing is talking about a Jew?
Because we're asking over here, Zokach Beitel Ishtach Vislam Mahu. We're talking about a Yid who stepped it up in order to. Yeah.
The other thing is talking about Goyim. No, it's not.
Before, when we're talking about the rocks, we were talking about Goyim, right. But because there we're talking about they actually worshipped it. Here, if we're going to assume that he's talking about that he.
Let's recap. There's a Machlokes.
There's a Machlokes whether if a Yid makes a statue, does it become also yet when he finishes making it or when he worships it? Rabbi Shmuel says the first, Rabbi Akiva says the second.
Right.
Chizkiyah, therefore, on the face of it, would have no reason to be asking about that. Right. On the face of it, therefore, if Chizkiyah is bringing up the question, if a person sets up an egg to worship it, it must be that he actually worshipped it. So that's not subject to the Machlokes or the Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. If he did a Maaser, then definitely it would be Aser. The question is setting it up considered a Maaser? Implying no setting it up means no Maaser. By the same logic, the rocks, there was no setting up, therefore there's no Maaser, and Chizkiyah should be saying it's Mutter. Okay. However, the Gemara says no. Not necessarily, because Chizkiyah's question could still be a different case. Suppose that he had set up the egg, he put it up on end, intending to worship it. He did not yet worship it. So now, fine, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you would say it's still also according to Rabbi Akiva, not. But the wrinkle is, now at this point, a guy came along, saw this egg standing on end, and went and worshipped it. And now, so now we have like this. He heard the Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel. Now we find that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, in a similar case, Yisrael shazokap levena leishak mitzvah, if a Yid puts up a brick on end intending to worship it, and he didn't yet worship it, but then a goy comes and worships it, Asura, it becomes Asura. Now, with a brick, the thing is like this, a brick, there's no question, because a brick, there is specificity, the other. Bricks are made by human agency. So there's no question a brick can become also ba'na by being worshipped. The chiddush of that din is, even though the yid did not worship it yet, and therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, which is the halacha, it shouldn't yet be also ba'na, but the fact that the goy now came and worshipped it, and obviously the yid intended that it should be worshipped, because he himself set it up intending to worship it, that's enough to make it also ba'na once the goy comes and worships it. The Gemara is going to mention, by the way, in the next paragraph, the Gemara is going to mention a similar concept. I touched on it briefly yesterday. How is it the Goyim were able to after the trees and whatever in Eretz Yisrael by worshipping them if they all belong to the Jewish people since the time of Avraham Avinu? And the Gemara says of it, they basically, we'll learn in the next paragraph, basically that once the Yidden worshipped the eagle, they demonstrated that they approve of Avodah Zarah. At that point, when the Goyim... It doesn't matter if it shows that they approve of Avodah Zarah. From now on, when the Goyim and Eretz Yisrael are going and worshipping Avodah Zarah, when the Goyim are now worshipping things in Eretz Yisrael, they have the ability to make them also similar to our case over here, where the Yid sets up something for Avodah Zarah and the Goyim goes and worships it. So now the question, therefore, is: so granted, Shmuel is saying that in the case of a brick, but a brick, first of all, is made by human hands. And second of all, the Kama Boyle, so now we can say that Chizkiyah has a question. Levenuhu deminkar zekirata. It's one thing with a brick where it's visible, it's noticeable that it's set up, it's noticeable that it's set up on end because a brick is longer than it is wide. So therefore, when you set it up, it looks bigger. Aval Beisa, but an egg is oval, fine.
Well, what's the difference?
The difference is a Beisa Loi, maybe an egg, there's not as much of a difference between whether it's lying on end or whether it's standing straight up. So therefore, maybe that's not enough to be considered a Meiser, to argue, therefore, that once he set up the egg, that's enough to make it, that to make it ready that now if a goy goes and bows down to it, it should become also a Yomaloi Shna, or maybe there's no difference. Maybe also putting up an egg on end would be exactly the same as putting a brick on end.
Ah, in other words.
Right. Yeah.
And lying down, though.
Lying down, maybe. So that's Chizkiah's question. If you just left the egg lying there, then you could argue, no Maisa was done, therefore Goy goes and worships it. You don't have anything demonstrating that the Yid wanted it to be worshipped. The usual rule, Ein Adam Oysa Dava Shein Shaloi, the Goy does not have the ability to ask for this egg Bano because it doesn't belong to him. But if the Yid set it up on end, maybe that's enough to show that he wants it to be worshipped. Therefore, when the Goy is doing it, he's effectively doing it as a Shliach. Or maybe we would say yes in the case of a brick, because a brick is much, much longer than it is wide. When you set it up on end, it's noticeable that it's set up on end. That's a big maiser. But setting up an egg on end, where there's only a small difference in diameter between when it's lying down or versus standing up, maybe that's not enough to be considered a maiser.
Wait, the maiser is to demonstrate that he wanted it to be worshipped. That's the purpose of the maiser?
Yeah.
Standing or
like? Standing. Yeah. And he's standing on end. Standing on one end, yeah. Either yeah, fine. I mean, standing makes them stand straight, but so maybe it's a hard-boiled egg. Because you're talking about you crush the bottom of the egg a little. It doesn't even have to be. Some people are experts at knowing how to make an egg stand on end, even when it's raw. You need a good sense of balance, but you could conceivably do it. But you could put it on a table that has a little hollow in it for the egg. Whatever, you know, I did get the chanesa, you know.
You put a piece of aluminum.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm trying to understand why is that necessary that he shows the approval? I mean,
Otherwise, how is the goy able to ask for this egg by worshipping it when it doesn't belong to him? If it was his own egg, of course he could ask for it without a license. Because that's the usual rule. A person cannot ask for something that doesn't belong to him. If Reuven owns something, whatever it is, whether it's physically the other man in or not, and Shimon or Tony, the guy, goes and worships it, that's not enough to make it off.
Mind you, when he puts the egg upright, it still doesn't belong to him.
That's true, but now at least the Yid shows, he demonstrates by that he wants it to be worshipped. So even he didn't worship it yet, nevertheless. Now we can argue the other guy is doing it as a shliach. Now we can argue the other, yeah, that, no, that, that, no, that,
that's
that,
what you're saying.
That's how it works. Yeah, that's how it works.
You don't need all this.
No, what do you mean you don't need all this? So therefore, that's the question. Does the same thing apply to an egg as it does to a brick or not? And the answer is teiku. We don't know. So when it comes to the egg, we have to, as usual, we have to be machmu in cases of teiku. So therefore, we say the egg becomes also bana to be on the safe side. When it comes to the rock, though, it's interesting. So we didn't end up answering the question which one says what. Is it Bnei Reb Chiya who says mutter the rocks, or is it Reb Yochanan who says that it's mutter? So we didn't clarify. We thought to say that Bnei Reb Chiya are the ones who say it's mutter. We didn't conclude one way or the other. So therefore the Ravid says, well again, it's Teiku, we don't know which one said which, so we have to be masculine. On the other hand, the Rambam holds, the Rambam holds in the case of the rocks, they are mutter. So the Raivan asks, how can you hold this mutter? It's safe. So the Ketzet Mishnah maybe wants to say that Rambam had a different view. The Shach in Shulchan Aruch gives a much more straightforward answer. He says you have the same machlokas in the Yerushalmi. And who wrote the Yerushalmi? Rabbi Yochanan. Not wrote, but whatever. Who composed most of the Yerushalmi? Rabbi Yochanan himself. And there in the Yerushalmi, it clearly says that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says Osir, and Bnei Reb Chiya the one who says it's Mutter. So okay, our Gemara, when Ravina and Rav Ashi wrote the Gemara, they weren't sure about it, so therefore they left it. But never mind, Girsa. In the Yerushalmi, it clearly says that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who's Machmir, and Bnei Reb Chiya are the ones who are Mekel. And as the usual rule goes, we follow Chizkiah against Rabbi Yochanan, because he was Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe. So therefore, it doesn't say in our Gemara. Okay, it doesn't say in our Gemara. Still, we have a Yerushalmi that clearly says who held what. Therefore, the Rambam is entitled to follow that.
So the Rambam establishes he's halacha on the Yerushalmi.
On the Yerushalmi, in this case, yes. So therefore, with the rocks, they'll be mutter. With the rocks, they'll be mutter, because there was no tzitzit there. In the case of the egg, there, that's a different question. That's not really directly tied. I mean, it's indirectly tied, but it's not directly a machlokas of Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. And there, the Gemara left out of teiku, and therefore we have, therefore, even the Rambam would agree with the egg, yapi machne. So now we're going to get into some discussion. Now the Gemara is going to get into some discussion from here pretty much till the next Mishnah about So again, we established before that there are things where even though they're worshipped, they still remain mutabahanah or ahedya. We also established before that, for example, an animal that's worshipped, even though it's mutter lahedya, it's mutter for you to shecht it and eat it or to work with it or what have you, it still also has a korban. We have an explicit, because minabakar lahoyti at the net. So now we're going to get into some discussion, let's say, for example, with mount.
You don't use the tikatsenu?
What? No. Shakasenu means that it's no. Because we have a pasuk, we have psukim teaching us about the mountains and the hills,
right,
and similar things that are naturally occurring and or have no tvisisi day of them. So therefore, it does apply to animals as well.
Right.
However, again, animals would be also bahana, but not also bahana, they would be also as a korban. The question would be, how far do we extend that concept? When we say in our Mishnah, for example, that if Goyim worship mountains and hills, the mountains and hills themselves remain mutabanah, and you're allowed to take stones from them, and you're allowed to plant on them, and you're allowed to walk on them, etc., what about as far as using them for hekdesh? If people worship a mountain, would you be allowed to take stones from that mountain and use them to build a mizbeach? The question boils down to, yesh never b'mechubah etzav gavaya, or ain never b'mechubah etzav gavaya. This that we're saying that nevad is also as a korban, an animal, for example, that was worshipped is also as a korban, does that apply also if something attached to the ground was worshipped, such as this mountain? Or maybe not. Maybe when we're saying in our Mishnah that the mountain does not become also b'ana at all, therefore maybe it means even as far as korban, not korban, as far as things, the serve Hashem, such as the Mizeah, maybe it wouldn't be also for that either.
We're making a difference whether it's mechubah or not?
That's what we're arguing. Never the tolush is definitely also. Never the mechubah, that's the question. Does it still apply? In Kim Salome, yes, never the mechubah, it's a korban. And if you're going to argue that
and
yes...
It was planted by
what are you talking about? Planted. A mountain is not planted.
Okay, but a
tree. A tree, so we discussed before. If the tree was planted by Hapchila for Avodah Zarah, then according to everybody would agree it's also. If it was not planted originally for Avodah Zarah, then we have Tanakama versus Rabbi Yossi, Agudi, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So fine, those who hold that it would be Mutter, then yeah, same thing would apply as far as a tree. We'll see something similar about that later. But for right now, we're dealing with mountains. This that we're saying in the Mishnah, the mountain, according to everybody, remains Mutter, Bana, and is that also true as far as the Mizbeah, or no? And if you're going to argue that no, the concept of nevad, this that was saying something that was worshipped as Avodah Zarah, remains also to use for Hashem, even if it was attached to the ground, then the question still is, fine, but does that apply only to the korban itself? Or maybe machshirei korban, after all, the mizbeach itself is not a korban, it's only a prerequisite for a korban, because the mizbeach is what you bring a korban at start. Machshirei korban to korban domo eloi. Would we say that the prerequisites for a korban, such as the mizbeach, are the equivalent of a korban? If a korban is also from nevad, so is the machshirei korban, or maybe not.
The mizbeach was placed on the Har Bayis.
What do you mean? It was placed. It was built. It was built attached to the ground. The Nizvachim explains the details of it. They poured a mixture sort of like concrete into wooden frames, and then they faced it on the outside with stones. So here we're talking about the stones.
It was a structure that
was attached to the ground. Fine, but that's the question. Are you allowed to take stones if you have them not... Now, again, we're not talking about Hara Maria itself. Hara Maria, we talked about yesterday, that what the Yerushalmi says, that there's Alpi Navi that they built for this message. There's no concern about Avodah Zarah there. The question is, are they allowed to take stones from someplace else? Let's say from Hara Zaytim or something. There's no specific thing that says that Hara Zaytim was never worshipped as Avodah Zarah. So would you be allowed, if Hara Zaytim itself may have been worshipped at some point as Avodah Zarah, let's say, would you be allowed to take stones from Hara Zaytim and bring them to the Hara Bayis and build them as their Hara Bayis? So number one, we say they're mutter lahedya. Are they all? Does the same concept of neva that applies to animals, which are tolush, also apply to a mountain, which is attached? And second of all, even if it does, are you going to say maybe that would apply to something you're using directly for a korban, for example, wood, which can be brought as a korban by itself, but it wouldn't apply to stones, which are used to build them as they are on which korbanos would be brought, or maybe it applies to that also. That's the question. Amar Rava, so Rava says kavachomer. I'll make a kavachomer to show what the deal is. Uma esnan. Let's consider the case of esnan. We talked about esnan briefly earlier in the Masechta. This is a pasuk in Parshas Kisei that says esnan zoyna, that's a gift that was not a gift, but rather the payment that was given to a zoyna. A man is going to have relations with a zoyna, so a woman who's also to him. And he gives her before or afterwards a payment. He gives her an animal or what have you, a payment for her services. That animal becomes also to bring her the korban, like Savi Eskan Zono Mechir Kelev. And Shemutza Batalosh Lehedyet. Now it only becomes also as a korban. It's not also for a hedyet to use. But even Batalosh, even when it's detached from the ground like an animal, it is Shemutza Batalosh Lehedyet. It's still mutter for a hedyet. That animal that he gave her does not become also Bahana. Yeah, a person could go and check that animal and eat it or what have you. Yet, also B'mechubur L'Gavaya. Yet, Esnan is also for Hashem even if it's attached to the ground. Which you would think would be more reason to be lenient. And we know that because the pasuk says loisavi dichtiv loisavi esnan zona umechir kelev, and the implication, since the pasuk doesn't specify loishnat tolush loishnat b'mechuber, so there's no difference whether the esnan was attached to the ground or not attached to the ground. Either because the pasuk says tavi, which on the face of it means that it has to be directly be able to be brought to the Beis Mikdash. I once thought about that years ago. I wrote something about it in Haaretz HaBiurim about 13 years ago. The vote is, on the other hand, for example, we find by Bikurim, the pasuk says Reishis Bikurim Ad Moska, tavi in last week's parasha, Reishis Bikurim Ad Moska, tavi Beis Hashem Alekecha, and tavi is you still designate it while it's Mechubur. So the word tavi in and of itself doesn't mean that it has to be detached. Anyway, the point is that since the pasuk just says esnan zoyno mechir kelev without specifying whether it was polish or mechuber, the implication is either way, even if it's mechuber l'karka, it becomes also to bring to use as a korban. So a tree, let's say, yeah, exactly. Let's say we gave her a tree as an esnan, then it would be osur. And by the way, I also pointed out in that thing in Aris Biurim, you have a pasuk in Hosea, it's in Asura Bamidbar, that the Hashem says, I'm gonna destroy the things that the Jewish people thought that they thought they got all kinds of benefits from worshiping Avodah Zarah. So Hashem says, Vashimoti Gatno Tenos, I'll lay waste her vines and her fig trees. Asher Omna Esna Hemali, Asher Nosli Mahavai. That she said, the Jewish people have been saying, these are an Esnan that my lovers, the idols, have been giving me. So we see from that passage also the idea that Esnan can be Mimachoga. Anyway, yeah. This is my own chiddush. I have no idea whether there's any validity to it, but there it is. Anyway. So, but for our purposes, Rava is assuming that Esnan is also Mimachoga L'Gavaya, even though any kind of Esnan, Tolosh or Mimachoga, would be Mutter to a Hedyet. So, because the pasuk says, by that logic, nevad sh'asu b'tolosh.
In general, right.
Exactly. By that logic, let's make a kavah chomer. Nevad sh'asu b'tolosh l'hedyet. Well then, something that was worshipped as of a desara, where if it was detached from the ground, like an idol or whatever, it will be also to the hedyet. Eidin sh'asu b'mechuber l'gavaya. How much more so that even if it's attached, it should still be also for the Eidishtim. So that should answer our question, therefore. For example, a detached statue, a person takes, let's say, a rock or whatever, and then carves it into a statue, and it becomes also b'hana for a hedyet, it has to be destroyed. And yet, if that same rock had been used as esnan, then a hedyet would be allowed to have an ultimate. Well, by the same logic, then by a kavachomer, therefore, so if esnan, regardless whether it's tolosh or mechuber, is also for a korban, then how much more so the same should be true as far as mechuber. That should be also for hektish. So that would answer both our questions. Nevad would apply to mechuber, and it would apply even to machshir carbon. Okay.
Almost the case that it doesn't make any distinction between
right. Exactly. And yet we see that it's mutter lehedyet, but it's also legavoya.
Right.
So how much more so when it comes to nevad, where there are cases where nevad is going to be also even to a hedyet, such as if it was tolush, how much more so it has to apply across the board to hektish. Omelet of Huna Bredya Vishur the Rava, however, Rav Huna Bredya Vishur said the Rava, Oichiluf, maybe argue the other way around, something which is worshipped, where if it was detached for the ground, fine, like a statue, it's also to a hedyet, and yet, you could argue, because we haven't yet proved the case, you could argue that maybe when it's attached to the ground, it's still mutter for Hashem, Shenema, again, because the pasuk we said in our Mishnah, hypothetically, yeah, Shenema, because it says in our Mishnah, because again, when the pasuk says, that only their gods are on the mountains, implying the mountains themselves are not to be considered their gods. Again, the pasuk doesn't specify, so therefore you should argue lo shnal the hediyot, lo shnal gavaya. Shouldn't matter whether you're talking about for common use or for Hashem's use. Well, let's continue. Let's make a kavah chomer from that. Esnan shem mutzer betolosh lahediyot. Well, then an esnan, which is mutzer to a hediyot, regardless whether it's tolosh or mechover, ein adin shem mutzer b'mechover l'gavaya. By that logic, you should argue that an esnan which is attached to the ground, such as a tree, should be mutzer to give to Hashem as a korban. So you should be able to take, for example, wood from that tree and use it as a korban or what have you.
So you could
argue your argument between esnan and avodah zarah could be reversed.
So therefore,
so what are you proving that it's also when you can just as well prove it's mutter? The e mishum based Hashem alekecha. So you're going to say maybe the reason why we can't do that is because you can understand when the pasuk says like Savi Esnan Zonu Mechil Kala based Hashem alekecha. So the simple meaning of based Hashem alekecha, of course, means you shouldn't bring it into the house of Hashem. But if that's all it meant, it wouldn't have to say that. It could just say like Savi La Hashem alekecha. Why does it have to mention the word bias? So you could argue, therefore, that maybe based Hashem alekecha means to teach us that that a house itself, you're not allowed to give to Hashem. If, let's say, for example, a person gave this Zona a house as an Esnan, that, you could argue, the Pasuk is telling us, like, Savi Esnan Zona Mechir Kelev, or base, or a house, you're not allowed to give to Hashem Alekempa. So maybe you're arguing, therefore, you have something clear in the Pasuk that says that something attached to the ground becomes also an Esnan, and therefore the only way to make the Kavah Chomer work would be Rava's way and not Ravuna Brei Rav Yeshua's way.
Because of the word
base. Right. Tosfos, by the way, points out that later on the Gemara is going to point out a house is actually not considered attached to the ground because originally it was detached. The stones and wood and whatnot that it was made out of were detached from the ground before it was built. A tree is mechuvah lekaka at one point, but then it's cut down. If he gives her a house, as Esnan Tosfos points out, the wood was already detached from the ground by the time he gave her the house. So therefore, of course it would be also the same logic as you don't say a wooden avodah zarah is going to be mutter because it was one time grew from the ground.
Once it's already detached,
then mechuvah lekaka, that doesn't change anything.
Then you can't give it again.
Then right, that's the point. It's still considered tolish for that purpose. So okay, right. So Tosfos says a couple of possibilities. First of all, it could be it doesn't mean he gave her an actual house. He gave her wood and stone to build a house, and the wood is still attached to the ground, and the stones are still attached to the ground. Or the other possibility Tosfos says is that then maybe the Gemara could be talking about over here. You can have a house that was always attached to the ground. Let's say he gives her a house that's a cave. He took a cave and turned it into a house. But it is. You can make it into something like a house. So therefore, it was never tolish. Of course you could. You could make it into a place where you live comfortably, sure. So in that case, then they're fine. Anyway, the point is that you're going to argue that the word base means that therefore that even something that was that is currently attached to the ground, and maybe was always attached to the ground like a cave, you could argue is still also an Esnan. But no. Because we need that word base for a different limud that we learn in a Braisa. When the pasuk says "Beis Hashem alekecha," that you're not allowed to use Esnan Zona for the house of Hashem, that means "Prat l'para she'ena ba'al abayis," divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That means Rabbi Eliezer says this din does not apply to the para adruma, which is never brought into the Beis Mikdash in the first place, because shechted on harazeisim outside the Beis Mikdash. Therefore, in other words, Rabbi Eliezer would say that you're allowed to have if the guy gave the Zona a para adruma as Esnan, you would be allowed to take that animal and use it for the para adruma to burn. I mean, the power of the Jewish people, says Rabbi Eliezer, because he says the pasuk loisavi Esnan Zona is only saying Beis Hashem alekecha. You're not allowed to use it for anything that will be brought into the Beis Mikdash. The part of is not brought into the Beis Mikdash. It's brought out to Harazes. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer will say that's the miut from the word bias. The Chachamim, the Rabbi is a Rikui. The Chachamim say just the opposite. The word base comes to teach us that also you're not allowed to use Esnan Zona for the plating of gold that was put on the walls of the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadosh.
That's the use of the word bias.
The word base means something that's brought, that's made part of the house. So if the man were to give the Zona plate, gold plate, and then we were to take those plates and want to use them to plate the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it would be also. We'd learn that from the word bias. Anyway, the point is either according to Rabbi Eliezer or according to the Chachamim, we have a limud from the word bias already. So we can't use it to teach us this din
right.
that it should be also b'mechuvah l'karka. So Rava, where are you getting the idea, says Rehona B'rei D'Rishua, where are you getting the idea that necessarily Esnam must be also rather for Lagavoya when it's mechuvah l'karka? Where are you getting that from? And the answer is, Omale, the Rava answers him, Anok HaMinu L'Chumra V'At Amit L'Kula. Fine, but I'm using the Kavachomer to come up with a Chumra. You using the Kavachomer to try and come up with a Kula, to say that it should be Mutter L'Gavaya. Well, we have a general rule, Kula V'Chumra L'Chumra Parchinan. When we have two possible ways of learning the Kavachomer, one of which would result in a Kula, and the other of which would result in a Chumra, we have to go according to the one, which is Masmir. Because Rabbi Hananel says there's a suffix and a suffix and a thing to arise, we have to go to the Chumra, as usual.
Wait, the case,
so therefore, that'll be the general rule. Yeah. So yes, it's true. Your way of learning the Kavach HaOmer could be logical also. However, given that my way is equally logical and you don't have a way of proving one way or the other. Well, maybe, but okay, that's not the point. The point is that even in general, in Torah, whenever we have a Kavach HaOmer that could go either way, we have to go to the Chumra. Okay, so the question is, Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava, v'chol heicha b'ikka kula v'chumra l'kula loy parchinan? Are you telling me that every time we have a kavachomer, which can go either way, we never try to use the kavachomer to teach us the kula? V'ha'azor de Pesach, but we have the case of sprinkling a person with paradrum of water in order to bring the korban Pesach. If you're going to do it on Shabbos, which is also Midrabanan, the Pligi Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva argue on this in Sochim. The Rabbi Eliezer Sochim L'Chumra. So you have a Machloikus over there. In the Mishnah in Sochim, you have the Machloikus starts off over there. Rabbi Eliezer argues, we know that bringing the Korban Pesach is Dorech Shabbos. That's the famous story of Hillel and B'nai B'Seirah. What about the prerequisites for the Korban Pesach? The animal that you have for the Korban Pesach has to be carried to your shalayim. It's not able to walk on its own, let's say. Are you allowed to put it up on your shoulder and carry it? Or, for example, let's say you don't have because carrying is also on Shabbos. The shechting itself is mostly on Shabbos, but this is Shabbos we're talking about. Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer argues yes, Rabbi Yeshua over there argues no. So then, in the middle, Rabbi Akiva joins the conversation over there. The Yerushalmi tells us, by the way, that this is 13 years Rabbi Akiva had been learning by that point by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. This is the first time he ever spoke up in a discussion. So therefore, up until that point, Rabbi Eliezer thought that he's a nobody. All of a sudden, now Rabbi Eliezer realizes this is somebody you got to contend with. Anyway, Rabbi Akiva comes into the discussion. He says, consider the case of sprinkling somebody with paradrumal water. That's only also midrabanan, and yet we say if somebody is tamei and now Erev Pesach is the last day he's supposed to be sprinkled with paradrumal water, you don't do it, and therefore he just ends up bringing Pesach sheni rather than Pesach rishon. And Rabbi Eliezer argues back and says, Adonai, you could argue the other way around. I tak a hold that you should be able to sprinkle him. If you're doicha, even carrying, for example, on Shabbos, which is deraita, for sure you should be doicha hazor, which is only midrabanan. So, and they go back and forth with Kavachomers over there. Rabbi Eliezer saw L'Chomra. Now, Rabbi Eliezer holds the Machmir. Now, it comes out sort of a Kula in that we're saying we can sprinkle the person, but it comes out from that a Chomra that he has to bring the carbon, he has to be sprinkled, and he has to bring the carbon Pesach that day, and if not, he can be Chayav Kares. Whereas Rabbi Akiva argues the Kula. Rabbi Akiva argues we're not going to let him be sprinkled. He's going to have to miss Pesach Rishon. He's going to have to bring Pesach Sheni, which ends up a Kula. In other words, we're saying we're not obligating him to bring Pesach Rishon, but we're not obligating him to bring Pesach Rishon, in other words. And so we see there's an argument there about how the Kavachomer goes. One second. And so Rabbi Eliezer saw the Chomer of a Kamachayev Le'Gavra. Rabbi Eliezer holds the Chomer. Therefore, he holds this person is going to be Chayev to bring a Korban Pesach. Rabbi Akiva l'kula opaser. Rabbi Akiva is going to be maple and say, don't make him bring the Korban Pesach. He'll be held over for Pesach Sheni. V'kaparech Rabbi Akiva l'kula. And we see that Rabbi Akiva uses, in that mission over there, he uses a Kavachomer that ends up bringing a Kula. So therefore, you see that a Kavachomer can be used l'kula. It's not, as we learn in the Mishnah there in Sochim, Heshiv Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva answered. Rabbi Akiva spoke up and started saying. So Rashi points out, Heshiv Rabbi Akiva is Uliu in the discussion. The Gemara is sort of as if you have ellipsis, as if it's like you have three dots over here after the word Heshiv Rabbi Akiva, and then we're getting to the main point that we're getting at, that we want to prove, that we want to quote from Rabbi Akiva. He says, Uliu Chivuf, Or Yehuda Eliezer are trying to argue a kavachomer that says madach shechting the korban, which is a malacha deraisa, and you do it on Shabbos anyway. How much more so hazal, which is only also the rabbanon, you should do on Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva argues the other way around. Or yichiluk, maybe we should flip around the kavachomer. Uma hazal shemishum shavus ain't a deicha Shabbos. Madach sprinkling with parah drama water, which is only a shavus, it's only a drabanon, and we don't allow it to override Shabbos. Shchita, she daraisa, like Hoshikin. How much more so the shchita, which is also daraisa, should not override Shabbos, and therefore you should not bring the korban Pesach on Shabbos.
She
mishum shvus. It's only a shvus, it's only a drabanon, and it's not deicha Shabbos. How much more so the shchita? Shvus means drabanon. But how much more so the shchita, which is also daraisa, like Hoshikin. How much more so it shouldn't override Shabbos? Which means Rabbi Akiva is arguing a kavu chomer that comes out of kula. How does that fit with what Rava said before, that when you have a kula versus a chomer, you always have to go to the chomer? Yeah, the answer is because, this is a special case. The answer is, Hosem Rabbi Eliezer Gemare, what happened was Rabbi Eliezer himself had previously taught Rabbi Akiva this concept, that shchita is definitely derech hashav. The Iyakulei Talmudah. What happened was, though, later on, Rabbi Eliezer forgot what he himself had taught Rabbi Eliezer. But also Rabbi Akiva led Kuri. So Rabbi Akiva is trying to remind him. Now, he didn't want to flat out tell him that, Rabbi Eliezer, at one time you taught me differently, and you seem to have forgotten, so let me remind you. So he tried to do it in an indirect way by bringing up this impossible kavachomer, this kavachomer which doesn't work according to the rules of kavachomer, because kol lachomer 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 parchinan, in hopes that will make Rabbi Eliezer remember. Wait a minute, Rabbi Akiva, why are you bringing up an impossible kavachomer like this? Oh, because you're right. I forgot that. Of course, yes. So that's why Rabbi Akiva was doing it. Not because he actually meant to try and establish that the din should be hazor, not derech Shabbos, and shchita should not be derech Shabbos. He was doing it to try and remind Rabbi Eliezer. And in fact, behind the Amalei, and in fact, what happened was the Gemara continues over there and starts him with the discussion that in fact Rabbi Eliezer actually ended up taking it the wrong way. Rabbi Eliezer got upset at Rabbi Akiva. Was trying to bring a proof over there from Shchita, which we know is an impossible Kavachomer, and we know anyway it's established off the Halacha that the Shchita of the Korban Pesach is Derech Shabbos. So the Gemara says over there, Rabbi Eliezer actually gets angry at Rabbi Akiva. He says, the Shchita, the Rashi brings the Lashon over here, the Shchita Hei Shavtani, you tried to slug me up using a case involving Shchita, the Shchita Hei Nisaf, so eventually your own death is going to be through Shchita, which of course happened, because Rabbi Akiva was one of the Astorah Rogim Alphas, and at that point, behind the Amalei, and Rabbi Akiva answers, Rebbe, Al Tachfireini V'Shatadin, don't, in a discussion now in Halacha, don't deny what you yourself once taught me. Then, he had no choice, because at that point, he realized Rabbi Eliezer is not getting the point. I personally learned from you, Hazar Shvus Ba'in Adarech as a Shabbos, that Hazar, sprinkling, it is only also Dirabonon, but nevertheless it's not Adarech a Shabbos. And that's the only reason why I was trying to bring up this impossible Kavachomer, was in hopes of reminding you of that. Well, at that point, Rabbi Eliezer realized that Rabbi Akiva is somebody to reckon with. No, okay, he'd already said it, but the point is, from then on, Rabbi Eliezer realized that Rabbi Akiva is a force to be reckoned with. The Yerushalmi brings in this connection. Rabbi Yeshua uses an expression. He quotes Rabbi Akiva an expression from a pasuk in Sefer Shoftim. Halos zeha amah shema'astabai seina astabai ilachambai. Look, this is the people. This is the nation that you scorned all this time. You thought they're nothing. Now go out and fight against them. So Rabbi Yeshua tells Rabbi Eliezer, you got to realize this Akiva over here is something. He's not just somebody you can just dismiss so easily. Basically. Anyway, the point is that, again, Rabbi Akiva, is not saying this Kavachomer trying to come out with a kula, because in fact he knew perfectly well what the halacha is. Rabbi Eliezer himself had taught him that. He's only trying to do it as a way of trying to remind Rabbi Eliezer what he himself had previously taught, that Hazar is not there for Shabbat. Exactly. So, other than a case like that, and the course is trying to establish a fact like that, other than that, we have the usual rule that when there's a kavachomer, you always have to go lachomra. Rabbi Akiva knew that also. Therefore, Rava can say, therefore, when you have me against, when you have my kavachomer, lachomra, against yours, Ravuna, Brevi, Rishua, then we got to be machmer, yeah. And therefore, the ethnon should be off there for the Mizbeach, yeah. Okay. Another question. What about, here's another case. Suppose that somebody bows down to a standing, to a stand of growing wheat. Would you be allowed later on to take that wheat and grind it into flour to use for a carbon mitzvah? Somebody bows to a stand of wheat. Are you allowed to use that wheat? Wait. The question is, here we have another angle on what we were talking about before. Because you're not putting the actual wheat as a carbon, you're grinding the wheat into flour. So yes, shinui benevad, or in shinui benevad. So now, when we say if we're gonna assume that nevad is osur, even b'mechover, like we said before in the case of the mountain, but does it make a difference if there was a shinui in it? If there was a change made to it, where before it was wheat and now it's flour?
So if there was no shinui,
if there was no shinui, then we established before based on Rava's kavachomer that it would be osur. But here we're here where there was a shinui, maybe yes. Now, Tosfos asked the question, when it comes to Esnan, we know that if there was a shinui, it is okay. You give the Zoyna wheat, and she grinds into flour. So why are we asking over here? So Tosfos says the answer that maybe it should be also midrabanon. Maybe midoraisa it would be okay. But the question would be, no. In the case of Rabbi Dezara, at least we could say maybe it's different. Maybe there's reason to ask it, even though it was nishtana, even though midoraisa, maybe it would be okay. Yeah, maybe the shinui would only help on a daraisa level. Maybe it wouldn't help on a drabana level. Shvus by definition means drabon.
Why is that?
Because literally shvus, it's actually not really shvus, it's really supposed to be shvois, which means rest. It'll be Chachamim are telling you, rest from certain activities on Shabbos. That means drabon, yeah. That's exactly what it means. That's the definition of yeah.
So shvus is something
drabon. Anyway, so that's the question. Is there a shinui when it comes to nevad? There's a couple of other explanations that I saw, which I don't remember now, about the shinui, why the Gemara would think that maybe shinui might not be enough over here, even though it would be enough by Esnan. I don't remember what they were, though, actually. If I can remember them, then I'll mention it. All right. Anyway. Come on, bring a proof from... We don't know what that's the question. I'll bring a proof from a Mishnah in Tmura when it talks about over there the various kinds of things that are also to bring us korbanos. Besides Nevad, you have a number of others. We talked earlier in the Masechta, for example, about Reveya Benirba, an animal that was used for that was used for relations with a human being, is one example. So the Mishnah says over there, Koha Surim Lagabi Mizbeach, anything that is also to be, any type of animal that's also to be brought on the Mizbeach, Vlade Sehan Mutarin, but the children of such animals would be mutter to be bring. So again, for example, Rashi brings two examples of it, Muktzeh and Nevad. Muktzeh is an animal that was designated to be brought as a korban for Avodah Zarah, Nevad, an animal that was actually worshipped as Avodah Zarah, whatever it is. So Vlade Sehan
was pregnant, she delivers. What about the...
Well, so that's what we're saying. We're arguing over here, therefore, that we're arguing over here, the calf would be mutter of the carbon, exactly. And the Toni Allah, and we learn in a Braisa, that's referring to that Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Oyster, that, however, Rabbi Eliezer says it is Osir. And therefore, in other words, so now the assumption for purposes of the question is that we're assuming that the animal was already pregnant when the Isser was done with it, that it was declared Mukhtar, Nevad, or Revia was done, or what have you. So therefore, apparently the Machlokas would be about Shinui. The Vlad is something different. It's now a born animal. Before it wasn't. So apparently the Tanakama would hold that it's okay. And apparently the Tanakama would hold it's okay. Rabbi Eliezer would hold it's not. So there's your answer. In the case of this wheat over here, that people bowed down to the wheat while it was growing, apparently the Chachamim would say that it's okay to grind it up and use it for flour for a carbon mitzvah because it's a shinui. Rabbi Eliezer apparently would agree, and that's that. However, the Gemara says no, because the lab Ishmael Allah, don't you know that there was said about that, there's an important detail that was said about that. Amr of Nachman, Amr of Abba, Machloikas Chinirbu Ul Vasayf Ibru, the whole Machloikas is, if first the Revia took place, so the animal became also as a carbon, later on it became pregnant, therefore we're back to the Zevazed Gordon question, we're back to the question later on, when this animal became pregnant, You had the mother animal, which was Ulster at this point because it was nearby or what have you. You have the father animal, which never became Ulster because you have the father animal, which never became Ulster. So you have Zev Zedgurdim. You have a Mut. You have Heter and Ister that together are that you have Heter and Ister that together are contributing to create this animal. That would be the Machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer holds Zev Zedgurdim as Ulster. The Chacham holds Zev Zedgurdim as Mut. First it was Nirba. Or made Mukta, or what have you. Later on, it became pregnant. Later on, it became pregnant. So, later on, after it was Nirba. After it was Nirba, or after whatever, yeah. So... No. You could have that it became pregnant, and then it was Nirba while it was pregnant. Okay. Aval Ibru was safe Nirbu, but if it was the other way around, first it became pregnant, and then it was Nirba, then you would argue Divrei HaKol Asur, and then even the Chachamim would agree that it is Asur, because then at that point you have, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, then we say He of Lada Nirbu. It's equivalent to not only the mother animal itself, but also the baby animal together participated in the Rivia. Well, then, b'hachinamik ibrul of a seif nirbu. I mean, well, our case over here involving the wheat is effectively the same as ibrul of a seif nirbu, because you have over here that the flower is part of the wheat already. It's like the equivalent of an animal being pregnant with a baby. And at that point, so the wheat was worshipped. The flower that's within that wheat was also worshipped.
It was germinated.
Right. And therefore, so apparently then, even the Chachamim should hold that it's also. That's the question. Rami Bachama is asking the question, but why is he asking the question? Once we have the statement of Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abagur, then we should understand that it's also, that it's also according to all opinions.
So it cannot be the case.
So then, well, why is he asking the question, given what we say over there in Tamura? Before we get to the answer, Ikadamri, another version of this last piece of the discussion, is Machloikas Kenirul of a Seif Ibru, is the Machloikas is if they became pregnant and later, if Rivia or whatever Ister was first done and later on they became pregnant, Aval Ibrul of a Seif Nirbu, but if they became pregnant and then Rivia was done, Divra Hakal Oster, everybody would agree it's Oster. This Ikadamri is exactly the same as the previous one, and in fact, you have, so why are we mentioning it? So you have the Shonim who have different deer stories over here. Rashi says all it is that in the first version it was the Chachmei HaGemara, it was the Bnei HaYeshiva who pointed this out. In the second version it's Mazutzer Breder of Nachman himself pointing that out. That on the one hand we have the Mishnah in Shmura, on the other hand we have the discussion about it in the Gemara over there.
So the Gemara just wanted to be clear
who said it. Is it just Bnei HaYeshiva or is it Rav Zutzer Breder of Nachman himself who brought the Mishnah and brought the Gemara on it? Yeah. So Vahani Namik Ibrul of a Seif Nirbu, Dami, and again over here with the wheat, Bechora, it's exactly the same as Ibrul of a Seif Nirbu. However, the Gemara says, no, Hachi Hashta, how are you thinking to compare these two cases? Hasam the Ikra Behema Vahashta Behema. In that case, the unborn animal before it was an animal and now it's also an animal. All it is Dasha who dachis of anfar. It's as if there was just a door closed in front of it. Before it was an animal, now it's also the same animal. So all it is it couldn't come out yet because the womb was still closed. Therefore, you could argue there's no shinui in it, as opposed to the wheat. Before it was wheat, now it's flour. It is a whole different kind of thing. And just like, for example, by Gezel, we would say that if a person stole wheat and ground it into flour, then he was koine it, shinri. Just like Tosas points out also, for example, when it comes to Esnan, again, that you give a zona wheat and she turns it into flour, according to the Tillel, which is the halacha, that flour is now mutter for a carbon. By the same logic over here.
Such thing as a real shinui, we say.
Right. Well, no. Well, the point is...
The shinui would be over here that it was born.
But again, we're saying being born is not really a shinui. It's not really a shinui, exactly. Because being ground up, that's a different kind of shinui. As a matter of fact, Tosfos also points out another detail also. When you have a pregnant animal and a person is worshipping it as a Avodah Zarah, he wants the animal to be as big and as fat as possible so it looks like a more important Avodah Zarah. So therefore, there's more reason to after the baby animal than there is to after the flour that was ground out of the wheat. Anyway, so that's why. So given that, that is why Rabbi Bahama has reason to ask about the case of the wheat, because yes, maybe it is like the animal, but it's not really similar, and therefore maybe it should be mutter. Okay. Given that last point, the conclusion is that therefore there is that difference. An animal will be osur, wheat will not. No, so the answer is we conclude with that, and that is in fact the halacha, that if you have wheat, the animal will be osur, but if the mother was pregnant with it at the time, but the wheat, even though the wheat was worshipped, nevertheless, once it's ground into flour, it becomes mutter. Since it's a shinu, yeah.
So let me ask you a question. The other day we had the case of the stone that was grounded and was thrown into the river.
Yeah.
And we said that anything...
No. There's no question, obviously. You don't want to have hanah from Avodah Zarah. But over here, again, the wheat that's attached to the ground never becomes also lahedyot. Over there, you're talking about something that was also lahedyot. There, you're talking about an Avodah Zarah that was actually also bahanah for everything. Doesn't matter. A shinui helped. No. Because over here, the thing itself is not also lahedyot in the first place. It's only also the gavaya. So maybe once there's a shinui in it, now that's what we're arguing over here. Once there's a shinui in it, the shinui is enough that now it's not, the only reason it's also the gavaya is a special thing from the pasuk that nevad is also. So it doesn't necessarily apply to shinui. As opposed to when it comes to something of a desire which is also bahana for everybody, with shakas, shakhtenu, and lo yidbak, biyotam, umam, and achayim, then that's it. It means even it's completely off limits, even the thought.
In a case of Hebia, then in a case of Gavoy, is different?
It's different, yeah, exactly.
And in a case of Gavoy...
In the case of Gavoy, yeah, because since it's not also Bahana there in the first place, it's only also as a carbon, so therefore Shinui is enough to make it Mutter, as opposed to when we're talking about a case of Isurei Hana, then that's it. No. Because once it's also Bahana, it's also Bahana, period.
Since it is the Gavoy, it should be Dafka Asur, even with a Shinui.
No. But that's what we're saying. We're saying that once there's a shinui, we can argue that the shinui makes it mutter because there wasn't an isra hana in the first place. It was only also as a carbon, right?
But a hinya, when it was hana,
then it was also bana, also bana. Shinui doesn't it still makes it also bana. It doesn't change anything. Yes. Same way as for example, bottom hollow is also bana and it remains also bana even when it has a shinui. Okay, so I had a chance finally to find over here what the couple of other explanations from the Rishonim about why the Gemara is asking the question about Shinui, given that by Esnan we know that a Shinui makes it Mutter. We have one answer that Amban says, because we're not really learning from a Kabbalah Chomer from Esnan, we're only learning by Mamatinu, so therefore not necessarily do we apply the rules of Kabbalah Chomer to that. The Ravid says another thing also. The Ravid says an idea like this. We've learned before. I think we learned in Shavuos. I don't remember exactly that. Even when it comes to a mamatinu, when it comes to a binyan av, you have two ways of doing it. Or for that matter, zeta shava. Once you have the zeta shava, do you learn all the details from the original thing and apply them to the second thing, or only some of them? Whichever ones that the kavah chomer or the mamatinu is meant to establish, you do that. But everything else, you leave the same thing. So here you have the question. You're trying to learn from Esnan to Nevad. Do you learn everything and therefore say the rule of Shinui also applies? Or maybe not. All you learn is the detail that Esnan applies with Mechubar and therefore here it applies with Mechubar also. But not necessarily the detail about Shinui. Maybe even with a Shinui, it's still offers.
And
the conclusion at the end of the Gemara was that shinui would make it mutter. You can't prove from a case of an animal, because the animal was no real shinui. It already existed in its current form inside the mother. So you have a machlokas in a mamatinu whether you use all the details, but in this case, we're saying effectively that you do. You use also the detail of shinui. Just like by Esnan, a shinui makes a difference and makes it mutter. The same thing for Lagavoya makes it mutter to use that wheat, that grain, from that flour from an offer. It's the same thing over here. When it comes to Nevad, same idea.
Good afternoon.